The following message was given at Grace Community Church in Minden, Nevada.
Luke chapter 20, we'll be picking up in verse 45. Would you please stand for the reading of God's word? And in the hearing of all the people, he said to his disciples, "Beware of the scribes who like to walk around in long robes and love greetings in the marketplaces and the best seats in the synagogues and the places of honor at feasts, who devour widows' houses and for a pretense make long prayers. They will receive the greater condemnation." Jesus looked up and saw the rich putting their gifts into the offering box, and he saw a poor widow put in two small copper coins. And he said, "Truly, I tell you, this poor widow has put in more than all of them, for they all contributed out of their abundance, but she, out of her poverty, put in all she had to live on." This is the reading of God's word. Please have a seat. Please pray with me. Father, we pray that you would speak. Speak now with the power that only you have. And we pray by your Holy Spirit that you would show us the things that we need to see from this passage. May the preacher speak only what you desire and only by the strength you supply. And may we hear you, truly you, in it. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You might say that this is a story of fakeness and faithfulness. A story of fakeness and faithfulness. And while in this story it's not hard to identify who's who, in part because Jesus is narrating, explaining it for us, I couldn't help but think that when you consider categories like that, fakeness, faithfulness, that in our everyday kind of life, it's so hard sometimes to tell who's who. The difference of fake and faithful, on the one hand, there's some people that you just think, "I don't trust that person at all, it's obvious." On the other hand, faithful, there's some people so faithful that it's just obvious. But there's that middle area, isn't there? There's the truth that at the very heart of it, we don't know the heart of other people. We can't always see through their actions. We can't always see through their smiles. We can't see into the walk of their life whether they are in fact the most faithful of faithful people. It's times like that that you realize, well, this can't be up to me. And thank God it's not. Because our God is a God who sees what people cannot. Our God is a God who can see fakeness. Our God is a God who can see faithfulness. It's the fake group that Jesus starts out with. It's the first half of the passage that shows us that God sees fakeness even when people can't. Jesus says, "Beware of the scribes." And here we have Jesus one more time going after the leaders, the rotten leaders that he has seen as he's grown up and in his ministry. Jesus is no stranger to criticizing corrupt leadership. Some of these are going to sound identical to what Jesus has already done in chapter 11. He has already made quite a point to criticize the moral corruption that existed in some of Israel's leaders. But here we're going to see Jesus criticize three big points as it relates to these scribes, and in the scribes, probably applying to a wider group as well. The first thing he criticizes is that the scribes loved being honored. They loved it. He describes the way they conduct themselves in public. They go around with long robes on. Now, robes aren't a problem in and of themselves. I have good brothers who I can think of who are ministers who insist on preaching in a robe. They do it because of a conviction about the office that they hold, the ministry they're conducting on a given Sunday. But there would be a big difference from seeing that man preaching in his robe on a Sunday and then seeing him at the grocery store in that same robe later. When you picture these scribes, you picture them, they're wearing something like a very, very full cape. And it probably had a big fringe on the edge of it too. You just picture, you notice a man walking around in this glorious full cape through the marketplace. They loved doing that. They loved when people would recognize them. Oh, there's scribe so-and-so. Hello. They loved it when people would give them the respectful greeting of a superior. This person is special. They delighted in that. They loved sitting in the best spots at synagogue. They loved sitting in the honored places at a feast closest to the host. In all their public life, you see about these people that they loved being honored. Jesus calls them out, secondly, because even worse than being so full of themselves like they were, even worse than that is that they actually even abused the weakest and the most needy in society. He talks about that they devoured widows' houses. Now, what he's specifically criticizing isn't clear from the text. Commentators will suggest that it may be that they abused the widow's hospitality. So you may have a poor widow, and they're the person who's always showing up and eating seconds and thirds, right? You may have a situation in which perhaps they were charging to give the advice that they should have been giving for free. Commentators suggest a number of things, but whatever it is, it's clear that they are abusing the weak and helpless people of society. It's hard for us to get our mind around it quite so much because we live in a different era, but to be a widow was among the most precarious places to be. Women greatly feared as perhaps the worst outcome you could have, becoming a widow. Because in a society like that, when you lost your protector, when you lost your provider, you ended up not simply disadvantaged, but often vulnerable, exploited, weak. Women truly feared ending up as a widow. And Jesus is saying, and these scribes devour the houses of the most vulnerable people in society. If you've read the Bible any number of times, you can't help missing that our Lord has an intense wrath against people who exploit the powerless, against people who afflict the powerless. When the powerful, even worse, when the powerful rise up against the powerless, our God seethes with righteous wrath. It should not be lost on us that one of the perpetual ethics that Christians are called to is to be a people who stand for the powerless. The powerless are never supposed to be without representation if there are Christians nearby. We honor the heart of our God when we stand up for the powerless. Jesus also criticizes them because they like to look religious. They go and they make these prayers and they pray in order to be seen. See, it's one thing to say we pray publicly together. We believe actually we are supposed to do that, that it is vital. What these scribes are doing is not that. They are trying to look pious without being pious. They want to look the respectable, reputable part without actually being it. And when you think about what prayer is supposed to be this incredibly intimate communication between the creation and the Creator. What a perversion of prayer when it's no longer at all about the God you're supposed to be praying to, but it's about you. What a perversion. And Jesus says, they make their big prayers, but it's a pretense. They are pretending. They like to look religious. Beware of the scribes. Beware of leaders like the scribes. Now, first point of application for that is simply to say, steer clear of leaders like the scribes. You do not want a leader obsessed with the honor of being a leader. You do not want a leader who wants to look like a pious believer rather than actually being a pious believer. You do not want a leader who uses their religious status to pursue selfish goals, to pursue outright destructive goals. Children of God, in our day, it's less about having respected religious leaders, although there are those who would fit this description. But where we see this every day and every year, beware of politicians. Beware of politicians. I was reading up on this and I just had this incredibly good news. It turns out 92% of Congress are Christians. How sad is that? We all laugh. No one was like, wow, I guess so, right? No, 92% of them have checked some box that some demographic identifies as Christian. But we all look at it and we say, yeah, right. If we had 92% of Congress as Christians, this would be a different country. Why do they check the box then? Why do they check the box if they don't intend to live like Christians, lead like Christians? It's because they want the support of people who still like Christians. It's because they want your vote. We know they're not Christian, yet they go around and they trumpet from the rooftops, oh, I have Christian values. I grew up in a Christian home. I go to this church. I read this book. They want to look religious without being religious. They want to stand up and be known as a Christian so they can get the power to live like they want to, not like God commands them to. In our day and age, child of God, beware of politicians. Every single election that goes by, God is being used by men clamoring for power. Every single election, beware of politicians. Now, the second point that you take from this very naturally is don't imitate leaders like this. We don't want to follow leaders like this, and we certainly don't want to imitate leaders like these scribes. You know, God can see, God can tell when we're pretending, right? He sees right through it. Some of us, and in these circles more than probably others, we may have a desire, even among those who do not believe in Christ, do not follow him, to look the part. Because we think it looks reputable. We think it looks respectable. We think it looks good. That is the moral standard that we want to be known by. So maybe the insides are all rotten, but we want people to think of us as good Christian folk. God sees right through it. You see this in the kind of person who shows up on a Sunday and then spends the rest of their week living just like the world. We want to play the part. We're raised with these values, and so we want to be known for these values without actually living for these values. And what you have to know is that God sees through all of it. He sees through all of it, whether it is some leader in Washington or you right here in the pew. God knows those who are pretending. He knows those who are being fake. He knows those who are taking his name in vain by using the name of Christ to disguise who they really are. He knows. And so don't you ask yourself somewhat, why do we pretend then? Jesus says, you know what pretending is going to get you? greater condemnation. Greater condemnation. In other words, there is a special level of guilt for the pretender. And so there in this crazy world we live in, there might be some advantage for why you would posture, why you would pretend. It may serve for now. It may get you elected. It may make people think you're trustworthy and the kind of person they want to spend time with now. But later, pretending will bring your doom. Faking it will bring your doom. You may fool other people, but you will never fool God. And so we ask again, so why do we do it? Why do we fake it? Why do we pretend? If this is you, the call from the Lord comes out loud and clear. Repent. Turn from your faking. Turn from your pretending. And believe in the things you've always acted like you believed in. And I'm sympathetic that it may be incredibly difficult to repent of something that you have done for years. Of repenting of a lifestyle that you had almost convinced yourself that you really believed in. But the only hope for you is to repent and believe. God sees our fakeness, even if no one else can. Now, if that's all a little bit heavy, and it is, there's another person in this passage. God also sees the faithfulness that others don't see. That faithful widow, she comes into the story, and this is one of those stories people know about the Bible. It's famous. This woman, we don't know her name. She doesn't say a word. What we know is one poignant moment that the Savior bore witness to. God sees what we think is insignificant. God sees what we think is insignificant. You have this story. He's been teaching at the temple. And you can look over and there's an offering box where people are bringing their offerings. First come the rich people in the story and they're coming. And you have to picture that you can actually tell from a distance what people are giving. So if you're not using paper money, if you're not using checks, there's an actual difference in appearance and even sound in what you're putting into that box. So you have the rich coming and bringing bigger coins, more coins, and whether they had a small bag or a handful or whatever it is, even just a single one, when they reach out and they drop it into that box, you hear it hit. $100 bill doesn't sound different from a $1 bill. But you know what? A big valuable coin sounds like something. A handful of them sounds like something. And they come and they offer their gifts. And to be clear, the rich people here, they're not condemned. All that's said is what they do, because what they are doing is setting up the contrast for what Jesus really wants us to focus on. They come and they bring their gifts, which everyone at some level would have been able to tell are the kinds of gifts that rich people are able to give. But then this widow comes. And she comes up to the offering box, and what she has is not some mighty offering, not some glitzy offering. She puts in two small copper coins. You're always struggling to translate currency amounts into our day. But if you compare it to a denarius, which was that day's labor, this is, each one of these coins was 1/128th of a denarius, which is the average day's wage for a laborer, right? So let's just picture that a laborer could make $50 in a day, just for a round number. This woman is coming up and putting in the equivalent of like $1.75. All right? She comes up and she puts in, It's like 78 cents she drops in, okay? She comes up and she puts in her two small coins. But Jesus has been watching. Jesus has been watching, and he says, see her? She just gave more than all of those rich people combined. She just gave more than all of them. Now again, we remember being a widow is a very weak spot to be. We talked about widows in the passage right before this, but now we have a widow coming up and putting in her offering. A widow would not be able to earn very much. A widow would not have very much to live on. And here she is, and she comes, and she puts in her two little coins. And Jesus says, you know why she's given more than everyone else? Because they gave because they have an abundance. She gave out of her very poverty. So you compare the offerings. The rich people's offerings look like something, sound like something. You get the widow. She comes up with her two small coins. And you could imagine she drops it and people can't even hear that she dropped it. So small was her offering. And from a worldly perspective, so insignificant was her offering. And what Jesus wants to make clear is that what looked little to other people was huge for her. She gave what she had to live on. She gave from her poverty what she had to live on. And Jesus saw. Jesus saw exactly what she had done, and Jesus knew exactly what it had cost her to make her offering. And that right there, that is the glorious focus of this passage. The God who sees even the smallest act of faithfulness. The God who sees even the smallest act of faithfulness. This is not about what the world thinks. This is about what God thinks. Because if you take this to the world's perspective, who gave more? The rich people. There's no doubt, no kind of math adds up to say the rich people did not give more. There is no objective measurement, whether it's the sound of the coins in the box or the provision for the priest that would come from it thereafter or whatever kinds of ministries were made possible by those offerings. There is no worldly sense in which she gave more. There's no worldly way in which 78 cents compares to $100, $1,000, whatever it was they were giving. The Lord knows that. The Lord knows that. But the Lord wants us to see something that is more important. It's not about what the world thinks. It's about what he thinks. It's not about what the world thinks. It's about what he thinks. The Lord sees the sacrifice. The world might miss. You see, the Lord who owns the cattle on 1,000 hills, he's not short of money. What he wants, what he treasures, is not the money. He treasures the hearts of his children. What he wants is their faithfulness, whether in matters great or matters that are small. And faithfulness, no matter how small, will never be missed by the Lord. One of the most important motivations that you'll feel and see out in the world is, who knows what I'm doing? Who can see what I am doing? Now the world, the way the world answers that question, the way the world prioritizes that question, they inevitably end up thinking that the world needs to see what they do. And so that's their motivation. That's why they go forward trying to impress people, trying to gain approval, trying to get likes and shares. This is what is propelling them, and this is the path of the scribes. And it is full of destruction and vanity. Christ is telling his followers that the answer to that question needs to be very different. Who sees what you're doing? God sees. The scribes need to know that, by the way. The pretenders need to know that. It doesn't matter that all of you think I'm amazing. God sees what's really going on. And who needs to see it in this case, in these small acts of faithfulness? Who needs to see? Only God. God is the only witness that really matters. When those two tiny coins fell into that offering box, who was watching? It was Christ. There is no offering, there is no sacrifice from his children that God misses. He doesn't overlook a single one of them. There is no small act of faithfulness that he does not take note of. Have you ever done something good, something obedient, something faithful, and then no one knew you did it? Have you ever done something good for someone and the person for whom you did it didn't know you did it? Never took note, never said thank you? God does not miss even the smallest act of faithfulness. Child of God, your Father has never overlooked a single thing you have done for him. Not once. He knows them all. There is no such thing as service or sacrifice that the Lord misses. There's no such thing. And yes, this applies to giving. Absolutely, it applies to giving. You may put your 2 cents in the box and feel guilty that it's not more. You may feel envious that you can't give like other people. You may feel utterly insignificant. But if there's anything to take from this, is that the size of the offering is not God's concern. He looks at your heart in it. And when you give in faith, he is pleased by that act of faith. He's not concerned about some giant offering that people think is a big deal. But this applies to all of our lives. Not just to what we give to the Lord financially, it applies to all of our lives. I think of our children. The Lord commands you to honor your mother and your father. Has that ever been difficult? Has it ever been grueling? Has it ever been thankless? When you honor your mother and father in faith, your heavenly Father sees it, and he is pleased by that act of faith. Have you ever struggled to continue loving someone because they are incredibly difficult to love? But you know, I am called to love this person because the Lord calls me to it, and so you persevere. Did they thank you? So often the answer is no. Did they even notice? So often the answer is no. But your God saw the love that you kept pouring on. Have you ever struggled to love a wayward child? Have you ever struggled to love a difficult spouse? Have you ever struggled to keep on obeying, pouring yourself out, offering yourself up? Have you ever struggled with it, but in that moment you said, yes, I know I need to do this, and so you did? Your God saw that. Your God knows what you did in faith for him. We think of our workplaces. So often they're the things that we alone know whether we did right. The corner is so easy to cut. The half-hearted job is so easy to just finish up and get out the door. No one will catch you. And yet you sit there with a conviction of faith that says, I have to go this extra mile. I have to do this right. No one thanks you. Maybe the boss thinks you were slow because you were thorough. The client is mad because you weren't on time. The client is mad about something that has nothing else to do with it, right? but the Lord saw what you did for him. The Lord saw that small act of faithfulness. Have you ever struggled just to keep on loving your family? You get home and you don't know where the energy is going to come from, but you put your exhaustion aside because you know I am called to love these people. And so you do. And it's exhausting, just like you expected. But the Lord sees that love. Child of God, when you, in faith, step forward in obedience, every act of faithfulness you offer up, your Lord sees. Your God is pleased with your faithfulness, child of God, even if the world has no idea what you've done. Your God, the one who matters, sees it all. One of the greatest sources of despair, one of the greatest sources of discouragement is the feeling that what we do doesn't matter. That what we do doesn't count. Christian, the God who knows the number of hairs on your head knows every act of faith and obedience that you've offered to him. When you walk in a faith like that, you cannot have even a single day that is meaningless, because your God sees it all. Your God knows what you give to him. Your God is pleased when you offer him the two small copper coins of your life. The great danger for pretenders is actually the same as the great comfort of the children of God. Namely, your God sees what people don't. Let's pray. Our Father, we thank you for loving us like a father. We thank you that for all the tireless, discouraging even, obedience that we're called to in our Christian life, when the world beats us up, when the world doesn't appreciate us, when the world doesn't receive it, Lord, we are so grateful that you do, that you see. We pray that you would help us to live like those who know that they live before the face of God. Banish pretending from our lives and give us the encouragement of living unto you. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.
We hope that you were edified by this message. For additional sermons as well as information on giving to the ministry of Grace Community Church, please visit us online at gracenevada.com. That's gracenevada.com.